The Conversion Bureau by Blaze. Prologue. The pony race and humans have lived together in harmony for centuries. A peaceful race, the ponies never really felt the need for war or violence to solve world problems. Things always seemed a lot friendlier with the ponies involved. Only recently have ponies been integrating into modern human society. Ponies have lived in isolated, calm lands for many generations, but with overpopulation becoming a risk for the equine communities, moving from Canterlot to Newark was a common occurrence in these times. Through warfare and species-exclusive diseases, humans have begun a steady decline in population and general health. The ways humans have destroyed the world around them, through pollution, greed, and unhealthy living conditions, have led the humans to realize the error of their ways, but had been a bit too late. Ponies, being a hardy, largely pacifistic folk, had slowly become the majority in world population, but only just so. It was becoming clear the time of the human was coming to a close. Soon, scientists of both human and pony worked together to create a formula to, in a sense, ponify a human and hopefully keep society from collapsing. Their long-term plan was to start a thriving, pony-centric world for generations to come. In this interim period, humans were plagued with mass confusion and doubt as to what to do. Most humans understood the decline in population and would much prefer to be a pony. With a down-to-earth, carefree lifestyle and the possibility of flying or using magic to their advantage, and current human health problems a thing of the past, what could possibly go wrong? However, some people have shown some second thoughts. People like Ian McCulloch. Chapter 1. In which something happens. Ethan rose from his bed on that warm Sunday morning in April, to the sun beating down through his window. He knew that today was the day. He was finally going to do it, get it done and over with. He was going to be ponified. And then he was going to move away to the pony world. Most of his friends had already gone through the ponification process, and now it was his turn. For a young adult still not quite done with his teenage years, this 17-year-old couldn't help but succumb to peer pressure. Ethan laughed quietly, and then got up to pack. The newspaper talked about it last month. He still had the clipping of the article on the wall of his bedroom. Ponification camp opens. Hundreds flock to join Pony Society. Ethan had skimmed through the article several times a day, looking over the regulations and the daily regimen of the 7-day camp. And as he packed the 6 sets of clothes, toiletries, and other essentials, he was confident he'd know what he was doing the moment he walked into the door of that camp. Ethan hopped into his car and drove his way through the streets of his hometown. There were many memories attached to these streets, and hopefully they will stay with him when he comes back, a totally different species entirely. The once crowded suburban complex he called home was now barren, with only a few of his neighbors still going about their business, and some ponies are seen bustling through the streets and the skies above. Ethan knew that this kind of living was soon going to come to an end, and that the new society he will soon be integrated into will be much better. Or at least, that's how he reassured himself. After about 20 minutes behind the wheel, following the MapQuest directions he'd printed out the day before, Ethan arrived at what looked like the cleanest building in the neighborhood. The camp looked more like a clinic on the outside, with what looked like a large greenhouse complex on the back, and a sprawling field of fresh grass even further back. The people-to-pony ratio in the general area of the building was about even, with nervous humans walking in and ecstatic ponies coming out. Ethan parked his car, got his things, and headed inside. The waiting room gave off a very noticeable vibe that would normally come from a doctor's office. It was awkwardly quiet in the mid-sized room, with only a few people sitting in comfortable chairs reading old magazines, and a unicorn pony at the reception desk typing on a computer with her magic, and sorting paper with her hooves. Ethan quietly walked up to the desk and wrote his name on the sign-in sheet, placing the application he had filled out the night before in a basket with a few others, and sat down with the other people. The uneasiness in the room was palpable. Suddenly, after what felt like hours, the door on the opposite end of the room opened, startling everyone in the room, even the secretary pony. A lime-green mare appeared from the other room and looked at the people in the chairs, including Ethan. After a minute, she spoke.
Okay, all of you come with me,
she said, in that kind of peppy, cheery tone that would annoy the average schmo off the streets. The aforementioned people rose quickly and started for the door. Anything to break the monotony of sitting in that room. Something told Ethan that it brought back bad doctor memories for most of them.
Now, I'm going to take you five to your living quarters,
the pony said as they walked down the long hallway to the dormitories. Even though the ponies had been living in his neighborhood for a few years now, Ethan had never really gotten the chance to be this close to a pony before. They'd always been either at home or work, and his friends and family didn't really have any pony acquaintances he knew of. At least, until they became ponies, that is. It was an odd experience being this close to a fellow sentient being that looked nothing like him. It felt like he was following a talking dog. Finally, the pony and her followers arrived at a small hallway. There must have been 20 rooms there, each individually numbered like a hotel's rooms. The pony directed each of the people to their respective dorms, and Ethan was the last. He got room number 526. It was then he noticed that the doors had no knobs. They just pushed open, like a public restroom. Ethan got self-conscious about his privacy, until he noticed the wooden door block placed tenderly at the edge of his room. The dorm was simple and warm. The first thing he noticed was that the heater was on full blast, so he turned it down to a reasonable temperature and put his stuff down on the bed. The bed was short and stocky, but still managed to be a full-size bed with a fluffy, sleepable mattress and neatly made sheets. But before he had a chance to unpack his things, a knock unexpectedly came at the door.
Ethan? Is this your room? The reception lady told me to come to room 526, but I'm not sure if the signs got mixed up or anything, so I'm just making sure.
The familiar voice babbled on as Ethan opened the door to his old middle school friend, Barry Gelsey. Barry was lanky, with a messy brown jufro on his head, and wearing a gray, battered-looking t-shirt with equally as battered-looking cargo pants. The two friends man-hugged at first glance with each other.
Hey, buddy.
Ethan greeted Barry with his first genuine smile of the day.
Hi there. I guess I was right about this room,
Barry replied, and let himself into Ethan's dorm, sitting enthusiastically on the bed. After a short silence, Barry continued.
So, I guess you're here for the pony thing, eh?
No. I'm here to exact revenge on one of the employees here. He killed my father, and he must die.
Ethan replied with a dead serious look on his face. Soon, both of them collapsed with laughter.
Sure as hell I'm here for the pony thing, buddy. How long have you been here?
I just moved in last night. We're supposed to go for a seminar after dinner tonight to inspire us to make the right choices and all that junk,
Barry said, using finger quotes where appropriate.
Half the reason I'm going is because my friend is giving the speech. She's a pony, too.
You have pony friends already? Jeez, I wish I did. Things are so weird around here,
Ethan replied.
You get used to it. I did, and I've only been here for 15 hours.
Ethan spent the next couple of hours looking over the papers given to him in the dorm room with Barry, and meanwhile catching up with his long-lost friend. Barry had moved out of the suburbs the summer before the first year of high school, and Ethan hadn't been able to keep in touch with him since. He was glad he had a friend at the camp to go through ponification with, and he was sure that Barry felt the same way.
Well, I think the seminar is coming up soon. Did you have anything to eat before you came over?
Barry asked Ethan as he unpacked his things.
Not really, but I'll probably grab something from the vending machine outside or something. Let's just get this over with,
Ethan said, attempting to hide his anxiety. He was unsuccessful. Barry seemed to pay no attention to Ethan's jitteriness.
Sounds like a plan. Let's roll.
And with that, they set out on the short walk to the seminar hall.